I found out something very unsettling about Harry.
He gambles.
What do you mean he gambles? He plays craps in the back room of a private club. I mean, you know, you're 11, come on, little Joe. Snake eyes, hard way eight. That's how it goes. He loses a lot of money. You had no idea? No, I didn't.
Welcome to the Crap Vegas Podcast.
Vegas, here we come.
Vegas!
Here are your hosts, Chris and Josh.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 28 of the Crap Vegas Podcast. I am Chris. He is Josh. Josh, how are you doing this wonderful, what are we, Monday afternoon?
Monday afternoon. I'm doing well, although I'm worried this show could be a terrible show today because of the writer strike.
The writer strike.
We don't. If we have a bad show, it's because just our material is terrible. We had to do this ourselves because we didn't have the writers.
Yeah, that's
Pete Davidson is out there giving pizza to the writers. You're outside our office right now.
Jeez, you're giving away all our secrets now. Way to go, Josh. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can via email. That's podcast@crapvegas.com. You can reach us on our forums that I haven't looked at in the past month. That's crapvegas.com/boards. Or you can always reach us on Twitter. He's at Vegas Duffy. I'm at SmallWheel13. Or the show page is at Crap Vegas. Josh, we took a trip to Vegas recently together. It didn't go exactly how I planned on it going. It wasn't the most successful endeavor, but I sure had a great time.
I had a great time, too, and it pretty much did go the way I thought it would go.
Well, you're more of a pessimist than I am, it turns out.
Not the way I hoped it would go, but, you know, that's okay. We did it. We did go to Vegas. I think we had a good time. That's what's going to take up a lot of our show today, I think, is the fun of our trip. But it turned out we'll cut to the end. It turned out not to be a profitable trip.
Which is a shame because I've mentioned on this show before and talked to you in private. I've been on a real hot streak recently.
Like, yes, you have.
A lot of my game, without you, I've been killing it. You know, can't mess up at a table. Everything goes really well. Playing at home, same thing. Hell, even my horse racing picks recently had been winning. So, I mean, like, I was on fire there for a while. And then we get to Vegas, and Josh, the tables could not have been colder if they tried.
They couldn't. They couldn't have been. And same with you. Again, if, you know, the little bit of the trip, we'll talk about it after you left. I ended up doing well. So, we're bringing each other down, right? But anyway, let's start with the beginning of our trip.
Oh, I was going to finish this is our way of announcing that Josh and I are no longer friends, and this podcast is coming to an end because we're costing each other too much money playing together.
I think more likely than that, we're just going to do our trip separately from now on.
You know, the same weekend, we'll be there at the same hotel, but we'll just be at tables next to each other.
Hey, well, oh, I was going to say, I'll be at Aria, you can be at Wynn, we'll keep everybody happy.
Oh, that's true. That would make.
But I like the idea of opposite tables. Oh man, that would suck.
How cool would that be if we are back to back at tables and you're winning and I'm winning, but then we come to play together, we start losing, and then we go back.
Well, I was going to say though, if one of us is winning and one of us is losing, I think that would could come to blows, or the show could end over creative differences. Or
that'd be like the day I started to play the don't when we were at Encore when you were so mad at me.
I had to go to play the don't just because I couldn't handle it.
You couldn't take it. So, Josh, let's talk about getting there. On Friday, we were both flying in of that week.
We had some trouble.
I guess so. McCarran right now is doing some construction on some of the runways, and it was just an absolute disaster trying to get into Vegas that day. If you looked online, the average flight was delayed anywhere from 2 to 4 hours if they hadn't taken off yet. If they were midair, they were getting delayed a couple hours. I know, Josh, you had to circle Vegas for a while when you were trying to land eventually. But we all ended up, 3 or 4 hours late from what we expected?
Yeah, it was 2.5, 3 for me, and I think a little longer for you. It was so bad with me, you know, and I didn't know about, and I think a lot of people are experiencing this, I didn't know about the delay until I got to the airport. So, of course, I got, you know, time to kill, and I'm paranoid that, you know, the trip's going to get canceled or my flight's going to get canceled. Everything else is sold out. So I actually, just to show you how big a degenerate I am, Chris, I actually booked a flight to Salt Lake City, and I was going to drive to Vegas if I had to. I booked a fully refundable flight, and I canceled it. But I was damn well going to get to Vegas.
Well, Josh, keep in mind, any airfare that you purchase, you can fully refund within 24 hours, even if it's not a refundable flight.
That is correct.
So you always have that option. So that wasn't the worst decision that you ever made. And knowing that you're somebody that likes to drive a ton, I guess that's not a huge surprise. Although I wouldn't do that, period. I don't care. You could have given me an airport 30 minutes away. I'm not doing it.
No, there was a part of me that was hoping the flight would get canceled so I could fly to Salt Lake and drive.
Exactly. It's not. You were actually rooting for this to happen.
But I was prepared.
But we finally got there. Of course, all our rooms and stuff are ready because we were supposed to be there like 6 hours earlier. Josh, I heard through the grapevine that you ended up staying in one of the nicest rooms that Aria has available.
Well, yeah, I think there are villas that Aria has, sky villas, I think they're called.
I rule that out. I feel like there's never a point in our future that we'll ever hit that level, so we can just take those out of the mix.
Yes, I was fortunate enough to have a Sky Suites panoramic one-bedroom penthouse on the 37th floor of Aria, and that was tremendous. I sent Chris a video with all the blackout shades down.
Yep. So I was going to revitalize our YouTube page that we don't use anymore and put that video of that Sky Suite on there, but Josh didn't even take the time to open the curtains so there was any natural light in the video, and I thought it was too dark, so I didn't put it out. So
it was hot when the curtains were open, but I did take a few pictures. There's one or two that I posted on Twitter. If you want to see the room, it's pretty incredible. Of course, there's YouTube videos of the
panoramic. Just go to aria.com. I'm sure you can find a couple photos if you
want to. Yeah, it was a beautiful room, and it was so big, Chris, at one point I even texted Chris, I lost my wallet somewhere in the room. But it was a beautiful room. 2.5 baths and, you know, all the fun stuff. And I won't go too into it, but did I? Probably, yeah.
Just to get around. I didn't have anything like that. I had my same normal corner panoramic suite, which is very nice. Don't get me wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But yeah, it was a fine room, but nothing Sky Suites level. And Josh, even on that note, I think anybody that stayed at Sky Suites or looked into it before knows that if you stay in the Sky Suites, it comes with a certain level of service, a kind of enhanced Aria level of service.
Yes.
Where you get, you know, special entrance and, you know, special treatment and special elevators and kind of like Wynn's Tower Suites, except even a little bit more than that. But if you do stay there, you're supposed to get your limo transportation. I wasn't staying in a Sky Suite, but I was able to arrange MGM to cover my transportation for me. And I remember when I finally got into the limo, we were driving back, and he goes, "This says I'm supposed to drop you at the main entrance. Is that correct?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think that's fine for this time." "Okay, well, that's not a place that we typically go. Usually we're going to the Sky Suite entrance, but I guess I don't have to drop you there. Hopefully I can fit through the main entrance." I was like, "Well, I'm sure it'll be fine." But he was just—I think he was just shaming me, Josh, for not.
Yeah,
being
you got
at your
shamed
level.
By the driver. Yeah, but talking about our driver stories, I was talking to my driver on the way back to the airport. I don't think I've shared this with you, and you know, it's in the big MGM stretched limos that they have. She said that they're not making those limos anymore, MGM is probably going to be converting their fleet over to Escalades or whatever, you know, the big SUVs are. There's nothing like the Phantom, the Rolls Royce Phantom at Wynn.
Yeah,
you know, I wish MGM experience. Would do that, but
I will say that Aria's limos are a tad bit run down, at least from the one,
they are
the two that I've been in recently. They're not the nicest by any means. They probably do need to be kind of cycled out, or what they'll likely do is just give it to Luxor or Mandalay Bay.
That's true,
you know, and just put their logo on it and call it a day.
But Chris, you did get something that I didn't get, at least right off the bat. Chris had a lovely gift basket again.
I always get that nice gift basket. Had all the same snacks I can expect. I can tell you exactly what's in the basket now because it's the same each time.
Did you get water? Your Fiji
got
water?
A 6-pack of Fiji, which is, again, $1,000 value. So thank you for including that. But Josh didn't get it, and he was being a whiny little baby
cranky for
a while. I'm not going to lie.
So, yes, Chris got his gift basket. I didn't have my gift basket. I was cranky about that. And then I was cranky. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I tried to explain to him that what it likely is Josh no-rolled him on his last trip, even though they spent a lot of money on him. I said, "You may have to earn that gift basket back, but don't worry. Fast forward a little bit. He earned it back."
Well, yeah, and the same thing happened. So I didn't have any free play either. My corporate offer came with some free play, and everybody's MGM offer hopefully does, and mine came with some. But no, I went to go get it with Chris. Chris and I went down together on Friday, stood in line at the rewards desk, and I go up there, and she calls. The person at the desk calls back, and it takes a minute or two. Chris is all done, just waiting for me, and she said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Duffy. Because you didn't have enough play on your last trip, we can't give you the free play this trip." I said, "I didn't have any play on my last trip.
I had zero."
So I wasn't too upset about it. Rationally, I understood. I was a little tiny bit cranky about it. But, I had told him the last trip was going to be no play. But anyway, to cut to the end, I did eventually get my free play because we more than made up for
it. You made up for it on this trip. Yeah, that kind of cracked me up, too. But Josh, by the time we all got there, got settled, it was late. It was 7:30, 8 o'clock, I think, by the time we all got in and settled and all that was going on. We met down on the gaming floor because we were going to play a little bit of craps. The tables were absolutely slammed. They were packed like crazy. Yeah, we couldn't find anything where we could be right next to each other. So we just played a couple slots there for a second. We said we agreed, let's get some dinner. So we went over to Moneyline Pizza. Took it back to the room, and we called it a night pretty darn early on Friday.
Which was good, because we had to get up early, because Chris likes to start early.
Oh, yeah, and I was up a lot earlier than you were, I think.
I woke up at, 5 or something, and I text Chris, because I figured he'd be up. And I'm like, "Are you, I'm just waking up. Are you going to be ready to go soon?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I can be ready whenever you want." And I said,
"I've been downstairs for over 2 hours."
Little did I know, right? Little did I know, he snuck down and... You played some high limit blackjack?
Yeah, and I say we at least have enough respect for one another that we won't play craps without each other.
Right, we don't cheat on each other for craps.
I didn't go to the craps table and play without Josh because I know how upset he would get. So when I got down there, I mean, literally for me, since I'm an East Coaster, when I went to bed around 8:30 on Friday, yes, it was 11:30 my time, but I get up around 6 a.m. every morning anyways, no matter what day of the week it is or where I am.
Which is 3 a.m. Vegas time,
yeah, which is like
right.
3, 3:30 Vegas time by the time it all got. So, yeah, I was downstairs on the main floor pretty early in the morning because I didn't know what else to do. Played a little blackjack, got my ass handed to me. That was fun. Played a little slots, hit a hand pay for very little. By the time Josh got down there for that morning, I think I was already down $3,000 or $4,000, Josh. It was not a good way to get started.
So Chris's way of telling me all this was I get down there and he's sitting on a slot machine. And you might have been waiting for a hand pay payout when I got down there. And I said, "Oh, that's a great way to, whatever it was a great day to start your great way to start your day." And Chris says, "Well, I have a little confession to make. This only kind of makes up for the."
This makes up for 20% of what I lost at the blackjack table. Yeah, it was great.
I'm like, "Oh, you've been going for a while already." Anyway, so we jumped into craps. And what did we find, Chris?
Well, they had three tables open. They had a $25 table, a $25 crapless table, and a $50 table. We, of course, went to a $25 just traditional table, if I remember to start, Josh. And it was, nothing terrific to speak of that I can remember.
No, we got off to a start that is was pretty much the way we went the whole part of our together part of the trip.
It was nothing if not consistent.
It wasn't as terrible as some, but it wasn't a great start at all.
No, we jumped to a crapless table after the first table. It went really poorly, too. It was just one of those times where you couldn't hit any numbers. Josh, I think at one point there was like 4.7s in a row, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
It was horrible.
So let's talk for just a second about kind of our play on the trip, Chris. I think you and I pretty much mirrored each other in the way we were playing. So on a regular table, so this is Saturday, by the way, just to keep, keep everybody in line. So on Saturday, we tried to play $25 tables. So we were playing 25 on the line with full odds and then 500 on evens, basically.
Yeah, we just played the even numbers. So if it was an odd point, then you had 500. You had 100 on the 4 and 10, 150 on the 6-8. I think we talked about that a little bit the last episode. That was something I started trying to see what I thought about it. And then, of course, if the point was even, then you just took the other remaining even numbers. It's a much lower amount to put out. And that was kind of cool, too. So if it's going well in that system, like it was the trip before for me, it's great. You can make some good money really quickly. It doesn't take a lot of hits to recover. And your bets are already effectively pressed up from where we would normally play. So it doesn't take long to, just make some big profits. If it goes 0.7, or if what happens to us a lot, it goes 5, 5, 9, 9, 3, 2, 11, 9, 9 out, and you hit nothing, and you just cry on the inside a little bit.
I do think that playing the even, I really like the style of playing the evens and, you know, playing at a lower limit table. And I think, you know, I know a lot of people don't want to or can't play, you know, 500 on, you know, evens or that kind of thing. But I think it translates into lower betting as well. I think playing the even numbers, I mean, it takes away, as we've said, that if you can buy the 4 and 10, paying the vig afterwards.
Oh, yeah, you could play 110. Yeah, that wouldn't be a problem.
It's a nice way to play. It takes away a little bit of that house edge that they get on the 5 and 9 for place bets, which is, you know, one of the reasons I like it so much. Mm-hmm. If you can buy the 5 and 9 and pay the vig after, then I would do that as opposed to playing the 4 and 10.
Yeah, probably. I would too. Did you, Josh, you want to mention what our special technique is though now? We feel really bad when the 5 and 9 continue to hit over and over again, and it just makes us so sad. So what we started doing is just placing the
betting
5 and 9 for the dealers on those numbers, and they got really confused because they're like, why are you betting for a number that you don't have?
Well, at least somebody gets paid when it hits,
that's
right?
That's what we said. We said at least somebody's going to make some money. And Josh, I remember on one roll, these were all player-controlled bets. So they were pressing them as they wanted to. We always give them free reign to do what they want with their bets. I remember at one point during one good roll that we had, I think the 9 that they had got up to like $75 or $80 on a $5 bet. And we're just sitting here saying,
we're getting nothing out of that.
This is nice. Yeah.
But I think overall, I mean, even though it wasn't a successful trip gambling, I think we're very comfortable with that. I think we like this playing this way. And it's you know, as Chris said, when it goes well, it can be really nice. And hopefully, as long as you don't have too, I mean, you know, if you have 0.7s in your placing or buying numbers, you're going to do badly anyway, no matter how you play. But but I like to think that it gives us more opportunity than, you know, playing 270 across did. But, you know.
And we talked about that a lot, I think, while we were there with each other after we left the table. We were saying, hey, if we were playing 270 across instead of playing this way, would it really have mattered long term, you know, during that session, how much we lost in it? And the answer is pretty much no. It really wouldn't have changed it. And now, of course, we're betting more money, so you're going to lose a little bit more when you're doing that. But overall, I still, even after a horrible weekend, craps-wise, I still think the variance is significantly lower playing that way. So it should make it a more sustainable, you know, way to play craps.
I agree. But so things were going so badly as we kind of rounded into noontime on Saturday, Chris decided to maybe change some plans.
I mean, I don't even think it was noon yet, Josh. I think we had been playing for maybe 5 hours or so at that point. It was going so bad. And I think at that point, Josh, I had already hit my credit limit with the casino.
Probably.
Which is not ideal. And so I told Josh.
I just kept expanding mine.
Yeah, Josh he went into TTOs. And if you want to hear a lot about Josh's TTOs, there's a new Patreon episode where he goes into, you know, a lot of detail on that. But at that point, I was like, Josh, this is horrible. I didn't have a lot of optimism it was going to turn around. So I logged on to Spirit's website and booked a direct flight out of Vegas to Louisville at like 11:45 that night to take a red eye home.
And you know,
the
things
next
are
day,
going,
leaving at 2 or 3.
Right. You know, things are going badly if Chris is going to run away on Spirit with his tail tucked between his legs.
And that, I mean, it just at some point it got to the point where I was like, well, I can either take a significant amount of TTOs to try to give myself a shot to get back in this, or bounce to another casino that I have credit at to take some money. And I just don't like doing that. I don't like chasing, you know, bad money with some good money after it. I just don't do that. So I was like,
but you left your options open at this point.
But I hadn't said yes or no either way. I was like, Josh, I have a feeling based on how this goes, this is probably what's going to happen. So we took a lunch break. I think you got Posh Burger.
I got Posh Burger. You had room service. I think you said your burger was good, but a little burnt, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was burnt, but it was fine. I probably should have just got Posh Burger. I was just so frustrated. I wanted to get off the gambling floor and catch my breath and relax for a little bit. So I had them send it. So
we were going to go see Opium, which we'll talk about in a minute. But before we did that, we had one afternoon session left in us before we went to Opium. And so we went down for our afternoon session. And this was our one and only time, if I remember correctly, Chris,
yep,
where we did
it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the only session that I had the whole time I was there that we made money. And it actually went remarkably well. I think we hit a couple
features.
I don't think we ever hit it all, But we got very close a couple times on the all. Definitely hit some smalls and talls. We were actually hitting numbers. It was probably the first time all weekend we were able to press some of our numbers actually up.
We had a great crew.
Levels. Really good crew. It was really enjoyable. And I think it started trailing off at the end a little bit. We started to get some bad rolls back to back. And so we said, okay, we're not giving back anymore.
We're
going
to take our win, right.
I think we kind of doubled up on what we started with that session, which was awesome. It got me into a much better mind frame of where I was overall with the trip because I actually had some money available for a change, could pay some markers off. And we took our break and walked over to Cosmo to see Opium.
One really quick thing I remember from that session, though, Chris, is I threw, as we do, yes. a nickel on the 10 for the dealer. I said, dealer 10 for $5. And the next thing I know, the dealer throws it on the hard six and says, hard six for five for the dealers.
He throws it to the stick man and says, here, put this up for $5 on the hard six.
And
we
like,
both look at each other like, we just said put it on the 10.
And the dealer, he just took it upon himself to, I don't like the bet you made for me, so I'm going to do what I want to do.
And the stick man definitely heard us because he goes,
oh, yeah, the other dealers were cracking up.
And he's like, what? So I don't know if he was hard of hearing or what was going on, but he wasn't interested.
We were cracking up.
And a dealer 10, he wanted a hard six.
As it turns out, I'm pretty sure a seven came, so it didn't make a difference which number it ended up on.
It did not matter.
We were cracking up. Anyway, so off we go to Opium.
Yes.
And Chris got us tickets, and I was super excited. He had seen it before. I had never seen Opium. And it's at Cosmo, if you don't know already. And we weren't 100% sure we got to the theater, but it shares the space with, or the entrance with, what, Super Freako? Is that right?
Yeah, see, that wasn't there last time I went. Super Freako is a more new addition to Cosmo. I think that was like a year ago or 2 years ago that they opened.
Right, right.
So, you know, that kind of attachment to the show, and they have rotating stages that go between them. So I knew where the entrance was, and I took Josh right to it. And then we started to go in. We're like, hold on, because somebody else asked for a menu, and I'm like, oh, did they move it? But no, they didn't move it. It's in the same exact spot right next to the Wicked Spoon entrance on the second floor. You still head in the same way that you used to before. They have a nice bar in there. We hung out before the show started and got a drink and just sat at one of the tables and chilled for a little bit. And I told Josh, I was actually relatively surprised. The drinks really weren't expensive for what
Not
I consider
terrible,
like Vegas
yeah.
pricing.
Like, I had my raspberry lemon drops.
You did, which were Twitter 20, has now seen this.
That's right, which were $20 a piece. So that's not terrible for a, you know.
No, but I got a Woodford on the Rocks, which is, for Vegas, that's actually a slightly higher end bourbon. And anytime you have a rocks pour, you know, you're getting extra liquor. So they typically bump up the price on that. And it was only $13. And that's
just
honestly
not bad
cheaper than I found anywhere in Vegas. So that was kind of surprising. But we did, we had a couple drinks. We took them to the table, sat down at our really good seats, you know. We had a nice table to sit at, a couple of rows.
We were kind
back.
Of second row, yeah.
Yeah, we had great views of everything. Josh, what did you think of the show?
So if you don't know, I mean, I'm sure most of our listeners are kind of familiar with the whole absinthe, what is it, the gazillionaire, that whole...
The Spiegel
World. Spiegel World, right.
Yeah, that they do things.
The Spiegel World thing. So this is basically the same thing. You have a host, MC type person. In this case, it was a woman, and it's kind of some... What body humor, like a little vulgar, yeah, a little raunchy kind of,
yeah,
you know,
exactly
thing.
What you expect from Spiegel World. Yeah,
it's totally right. And it's built around. And then you have your kind of circus-ish acts that fill up the middle of the show. And so there's very little kind of story involved. I mean, I kind of think they pretend to have a story, but I don't even know what it was,
which is completely different, though, Josh, than the last time I saw it.
Right.
So when Opium first came out, there was a definite plot.
Right.
And that main character, the woman that was doing kind of the vulgar comedy,
robot. Right, right.
She was not part of the original show. They literally had like a path through space where you're going through, you know, going to different planets and getting certain things you need to save the world sort of thing. That's all gone. They've ditched that whole idea. They just have her as an MC. She's like a gazillionaire. She just doesn't have a Penny Pibbles or whatever the assistant is from from Absinthe. That person doesn't exist, but she kind of leads the show, and it's just a variety show. They put a bunch of kind of Cirque style, you know, acts out in the middle. Some of them are from the original show that I saw, you know, 4 years ago, whatever it was, you know, like hula hoop tossers and jugglers and stuff like that. And some of it's kind of brand new. So, yeah, it was kind of cool. I enjoyed it, and it was definitely different than the last time, so that was engaging.
So, Chris, we had someone ask us, I think on Twitter. Sorry, I don't remember who it was, but somebody asked us on Twitter, like, if you were recommending O or opium, how would you recommend one over the other, and to what group of people, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, apples and oranges show-wise and what they're trying to accomplish. My thought would be it's really just based off kind of the personality and age of the people that are going. I think younger people are much going to prefer opium because just it has that, you know, it's more edgy. So I think that they're going to like stuff like that.
And not if you
like
younger absinthe, as not younger as in my kid age. That would be more O.
No. When I'm saying younger, I mean like 21 to 35.
Yeah, I know. Or at least, I just want to make it clear.
You know, people like my age, Josh, not people your age, not old people.
Absolutely.
Old people don't like it. But no, I mean, if you're slightly older, a little bit more tame, you don't like that kind of edginess, then, I mean, O is just a classic Vegas show. That it's hard to do much better than that. And young people would like O as well. I just think there are certain personality types. If you know the people that absinthe offends, opium probably offends them too.
So or attracts, probably, right.
Yeah, or attracts, yeah. So I just... It's along the same lines. If you're very sensitive to inappropriate humor about sexual orientation or age, gender, religion, anything like that, then Speed of World shows in general just aren't for you. You should probably just stay away.
But overall, I thought it was a great show. I'm glad we went. I had a lot of fun. We got ourselves a little nice buzz going on, which led us to the last thing we did on
Bad Idea.
We didn't get in so much trouble that, you know, we can't tell the story, but we did. We had planned to be done with gambling, and Chris was still in the air about, you know, what trip you were going to take home.
Well, we were in a good mindset because before the show, we had won money. So we were able to pay some markers off, get the line. I was able to get my balance down to a reasonable number that I was okay with. And then, we went to the show. We had a handful of drinks. We were slightly intoxicated and we started walking back from Cosmo over to Aria. And I looked at Josh and I was like, hey, you know, what are your thoughts? I'm thinking maybe just one more session. Just, you know, we were a little tipsy. It sounded like a lot of fun.
Well, you
at the
had
time.
Like, you still had 2 or 3 hours before you had to go. If you
I
were going
to
catch that spirit
kill.
Fly, right?
Yeah. And I was like, why don't we just play for a little bit? And if it goes well, then I'll just, you know, stick around and we'll be right back where we were. If it doesn't, you know, okay, so be it. It did not go well.
No. I think we played for, 45 minutes, if that.
If that.
Lost everything we had won before the show.
Maybe a little bit more. Yeah.
So yeah, Chris said, that's it.
It was not great. Yeah. And I said, okay, that's it. I'm going home.
So, of course, I'm kind of miserable because now I've lost everything we won. And I've still got two full days in Vegas. 2.5 days
Josh,
in Vegas.
You should realize you can't be upset with me because I was being the responsible gambler who set a limit on himself and was extricating myself from this bad situation. I was not saying, can I get a double TTO or a triple TTO? That's not what Chris did.
I couldn't leave because I had a massage scheduled for Sunday and I had a meetup planned with some of our listeners on Monday. So I was stuck.
Hold on. That massage got scheduled after I left.
No, it was scheduled before you left. When you had planned to leave at 2:00 on Sunday, I had scheduled a 4:00 on Sunday massage. So I scheduled it before you even changed your plans.
I'm calling bullshit. I was stuck. That's not what I heard Saturday night. But no, you were not stuck. You absolutely could have gone home. And I even think I encouraged you to either, go home earlier, maybe switch venues to something that's not
you
as
probably
financially
did, yeah.
taxing.
Right.
I was trying to be a responsible gambling citizen. But you just
and I said no. I went at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning down to the this is hypothetically, and again, here's where we go into hypothetical territory. I may have gone down at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning to the host's office and got a TTO or a second TTO, but we'll just leave that as hypothetical for now. But so I jumped into craps. Well, after Chris's by now, I think you were home by the time I woke up and got going
at
7 a.m. on Sunday.
6 a.m. My time, which is 3 a.m. your time. So yeah, I was back home, laying in bed, relaxing, watching a show on Netflix before you were up in the morning to play craps.
In fact, I
day.
Texted you and said, are you home? And you're like, dude, I've been home for 3 hours.
Which, by the way, I hate Spirit Airlines, but if I can get home on a 3-hour flight versus taking 7 hours with a connection, I may be coming around to doing that more often.
Did they have anything special for like their higher? I know you get the big non-reclining seat or something. Is that about the best there is?
You know, Josh, I wasn't going to mention it on this show, but what I did do is it turns out you can tier match into their highest tier, which I think is gold.
Which gets you what?
Free carry-on bags, free check bags.
Okay,
all
right.
Priority boarding. All the and seat fees, other than like the big front seats, you get all those fees for free.
Okay.
And you can change flights, which is important to me because I change flights
on
the
fly. That, yeah.
So I tier matched in. I think they charge like $70 or something to tier match, and it's good for the year. Or I think it's good for an actual calendar year once you do it. I've well more than made that money back very quickly. So that was easy. And it did help. So
I do laugh that they charge to tier match. Of course, that's it's a Spirit thing. You've got to have some fees there somewhere.
Is there anything that they don't charge for? I mean, I'm really surprised they don't have like a little quarter on the handle going into the bathroom where you have to drop a quarter in to go use it. So
I jump into Dice on Sunday morning, and the very first thing that happened is one of the dealers says, "Where's your brother?"
Of course.
Of course. Because
everybody likes
We were gambling whenever it was on Saturday morning, our very first crap session. We had somebody ask us, I don't remember if it was a dealer or another player, say, "Are you guys brothers?" I think it was a player.
It was,
you know, we had been playing like 5 minutes and somebody asked if we were brothers. So fast forward Sunday, I get three different dealers all day Sunday and Monday saying, "Hey, where's your brother?" One dealer came over from another table and said, "Where's your brother?"
He's being responsible. He's at home.
That's right. Well, you say that, but yet I had a really good session on that Sunday morning.
Josh, so if I had a button to beep swear words right now, I would be saying something even heavier than I usually say, because I was very pissed off at you for deciding to win when I wasn't there. I mean, I know you don't control these things, but that was bullshit.
I sent Chris a picture. I think I even tweeted this picture out. I had the we start with $100 on 10, and I had the 10 up to 1,000. So that tells you, you know, if I'm and I had only pressed 100 to 150 to 200, then I think I went to 3, then I went to 5, then I collected at 5, then I went to 8, then I went to 1,000. So the 10 hit. I mean, that if my memory is correct, I think that's right. That tells you how many times it hit. It hit a lot.
Yeah, you kept putting pictures on Twitter of how things were going. And I luckily have the inside information. I know what your marker is usually, so I know where you start. So I'm thinking every time I see this and he's on a different table with still doing really, I'm like, God, why did I leave? Because it turned so good.
It sure did.
At least for a short period of time.
Well, no, for the most part, the craps, I think I had one or two bad sessions after you left. It was slots that killed me. And maybe we touch on that a little bit. But when I looked at my win-loss statement on, you know, on M Life or whatever, it's not M Life anymore, sorry, MGM Rewards, it was, yes, we both lost money on craps, but it was really slots that got me, because I made up a pretty good portion of our craps loss on Sunday and Monday. But anyway, that session was a tremendous amount of fun. We don't very often get a number up to $1,000. So that was very
not
cool.
Not too often, no.
In the afternoon, Chris, this is kind of the one story I wanted to tell you. So I'm playing just by myself at a $25 table, doing the thing. It's going okay. A guy comes in and asks, kind of a bigger guy comes in the other end of the table and asks for a TTO for $500,000.
Whoa.
And
that makes
that is
big players seem small.
It wasn't just a marker. He asked specifically for, you know, I need a TTO for $500,000.
So
means he's already exhausted his rest.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
He's already exhausted whatever his credit line is. So the box obviously knew who he was and said, you know, let me call. And so in a matter of seconds, a host comes running out with paperwork for him to sign. So it's just the two of us playing on the table, and the table went from a $25 table to a $1,000 table in no time. So the two of us are playing. I'm doing my usual thing. He was playing really aggressively, in the sense that he was making like $5,000 hardway bets, and, you know, things like, he wasn't
table
playing
maximum hardways. Yeah,
right. He wasn't playing, you know, the way we play on the evens or all, you know, alls or even come bets or anything like that. They were really high, you know, high risk, high reward bets that he was making for the most part. So he's chatting with mostly the dealers because he's on the other end of the table. And he said, "Yeah, my plane broke down. They have to send me a new plane. So that's why I needed the TTO. Like, I wish I could have the problem on my plane breaking down."
We were at, this is completely unrelated to Vegas. We flew down to somewhere in Georgia to this really nice golf course. No, not Augusta, but some other really nice golf course down there for work, myself and one of the guys in my company. And we played, and it was like this, like it was like a tournament that some vendor was having, but we really needed to be there because there was going to be a lot of, you know, high target customers there as well that we needed to touch base with. And we got down there, we played our round of golf, and my guy that I work with and I, we had our commercial flight lined up for later that afternoon. We were going to catch an Uber or whatever to get back to the airport to make it back home. And a bunch of the guys where they were like, oh, you know, our my flight's delayed. I'm not going to be able to make it. And, you know, you guys won't play in a room. We're like, no, we have to catch our flight. It's still on. And we talked to them a little bit more. We find out all it was is all these guys, like their pilots got busy doing stuff. They were all on private jets flying in. And here we are taking an Uber to the airport to catch, because they're like, do you need a ride to the airport? We can get our driver to take you. Are you at this airport or this one? And he's talking about like tiny little regional airports, you know? And we're like, no, we'll handle it. Don't worry about
it.
Yeah. We didn't expose the carts. But that's what I'm thinking, Josh, when you're talking about people like this. He's, you know, his private plane and his super fancy jet and his driver's waiting for him to take him. Yeah, it's a whole situation.
It is a different. But anyway, he ended up losing $75,000. Well, I won, you know, like a grand or something. It wasn't a great, you know, a great session at the table, but I won a little bit and he lost 75 grand. And I'm like, oh, my God.
He was either going to win a couple hundred thousand or he's going to lose 75 grand playing that way, it sounds like.
But then I went off for my nice 100-minute massage at Aria. Okay. And I'll tell you, one of the differences, we talked a little bit, I won't go into spa talk too much, but one of the main differences, if you want a really nice spa, I think Aria Spa, which is rated Forbes 5 Diamond or something they're promoting, and Wind Spa, which is also a, you know, super nice spa. One of the big differences, and Chris's girlfriend, when she was there last, likes the Aria Spa better. I like the Wind Spa a little better. One difference is the Aria Spa is much higher volume. I mean, This was at 4 o'clock on a Sunday, and there were probably 30, 40 people waiting for massages in the little waiting area. Whereas at Wynn, might have 5 or, you know, 10 or, you know, kind of at most. Anyway, so a big difference as far as volume. So whether or not that makes any difference, it made it a little less, you know, elegant or luxurious feeling because it was like being in a crowd almost.
Now, cost-wise, are they fairly comparable price wise? I mean, I know, to be full disclosure, this was comped.
Which I didn't know it was going to be ahead of time. I mean, I had hopes that it would be, but I had comp dollars.
I know what we lost. I had no doubt about it.
I have. Well, Wynn is not as generous with comping massages, at least in
That's
my,
true.
You know,
yeah.
I had hoped that it was going to be comp, but I had comp dollars, you know, set aside just in case it wasn't. But I can't remember the exact price, but it was about $400 for a 100-minute, you know, massage. Okay. So it was not an inexpensive massage, but it was lovely.
Oh, good. I'm glad you had
a
good
time. I was
very
happy with it. And that pretty much ended. I don't think I gambled at all. I probably played and lost some more money in slots, but knowing me, I, you know, threw a couple grand to the slot machine and lost it. But that was it for my gambling on Sunday. And then it was Moneyline Pizza or Posh Burger.
Now, you said you did get your free play finally, though?
I did get my free play.
Did you have to beg a host?
I went into, what did I do it for? I don't remember what, maybe I did it specifically for this, but I went into the host office for one reason or another and said, you know, hey, do you think, you know, is it possible to get my free play now? I didn't get it at the beginning. And she said, no problem.
No problem there. Would you like us to double it? No problem.
It was only what my corporate offer gave me. I didn't get the midweek bonus because this was on Sunday, I think it was, but that was totally fine. I was happy to get, you know, get something. And I made good use of the free play. I turned it into more actual dollars than the free play was. Of course, I lost it all and then some later, but that's okay.
Yeah, that happens.
Anything Monday
crazy
morning.
On Monday?
Well, I got my gift basket finally.
I wonder why it took so long to actually. Like,
yeah,
were they
who
waiting
knows?
For you to hit a certain threshold of loss before they gave you free play?
I don't
and
know.
Gifts
I
and...
don't know what the. Yeah. I started with a crapless session and had a little winning crapless session. In fact, Chris, I got the 6 up to 600 at one point. Not the 6. I got the 12 up to 600 at one point.
Which is amazing.
Which is, that was lovely. And it made for a winning crapless session.
For sure.
And,
always does.
And by the way, I wanted to tell you, so if you're familiar with Aria, and this may be true with some other MGM properties as well, they have the boom bust or... what do they call it? The boomer bust all toss ball. They have a different name for it.
But, it's very ugly looking on the felt. It's very messy.
The little ones and the big ones and the boom or something like that. And as we've talked about before, it's not always with the large, the 150 to 1 payout. in the middle of the two. Sometimes it's at the top or the bottom of the two.
Even worse than that, it changes within their own casino.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some tables at Aria have small, all, and then tall. Some right. of them have all, small, tall.
And which is where this is going, right.
And that has resulted in Josh's bets being set up differently and wrongly before. I bet because
I've said 5-10-5, right. Right. Yeah. No, I usually go a 5-10-5. So 10 being on the all and rather than the small or tall. But I've said that and it was at one of those tables where the 5 may have been the all, which is the case here, Chris. So this was at Crapless. So now I know to look for that. So I'm more careful about, you know, being aware of that.
For sure.
But the dealer told me, or the box told me, that they've had enough complaints about people in that situation that they're getting a new felt with the all in the middle. So that they'll all be uniform. New
That's
felts.
A reasonable complaint because almost every casino puts the all in the middle. I have right. no idea why they put it all the way out on the left. It looks weird. It's not right. And I hate the way that they set it up because they literally have to move two different lammers every time because they have to cover it on the all tracker and then they have to cover it on the small tracker when it hits. It gets really messy. There's stuff all over the place. The only thing I do like about it is if you hit a small or tall, you can put the bet back up with them.
Oh, so yeah.
You don't have to wait for the whole roll and shooter to resolve or hit it all, and then you can start over anything. You can just continue on. And I've had it many times there where I've hit the small 3 times and never made the all. And that is really nice.
No, you're super correct. And I was doing that. I was putting it back up for the dealers, and I would actually increase the bet that I had for the dealers.
Yeah, press your
never hit it back to back, but that's okay. It's still fun. So, Chris, I have a question for you. What would you do? So this was one of the tables on Monday. It was, you know, I had gone up to the table. It was by myself. It was a $25 table. I do our usual thing. I'm not there 5 minutes, but a group of 6 or 7 guys come up and they all start playing the don't.
Were they together?
Yeah, they were all together.
Okay.
And they're all playing the don't and cheering each other on. And I decided, you know, I lost like the first roll. I lost, you know, $100 or $200. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to give up. I'm gonna just color up, go play slots, go do something else, because I didn't want to lose everything against 6 or 7 don't players and not have any fun. Would you have stuck around, or would you just say,
"Oh no chance at all"? I mean, we've talked. What makes craps so special is that camaraderie that exists at the table, that everybody's rooting together for the same thing to happen, and it doesn't really exist at any other game. Because in blackjack, you can all have different hands, and some people bust before the dealer flips over a 17 and you win. I mean, it doesn't happen. So when you have players that are coming to the table that are effectively your adversaries, because for you to win, they lose and vice versa. I just don't, that's not an environment I would ever seek out. It's not enjoyable. You're rooting against other players when you really all should be rooting against the house. I'd find another table very quickly.
Yeah. And in fact, I think this was on whatever it was Monday morning. I don't even think there was an option. I mean, maybe I could have gone and played $50 crapless or something, but I was pretty much saying, I'm taking a craps break.
I'm right there with you, Josh. I would not do that. The only thing that I've ever done in the past to try it, and it wouldn't fix this problem specifically, but the other problem I have at tables, when people jump in and out at lower level tables, that's one thing I don't like. So I have got myself finding, like, if I walk up to a $15 table and I'm the only one there, I'll always ask the box, "Hey, do you mind jumping this to a quarter?" And we used to do this a lot at Wynn when we were playing $50 at a quarter table. We'd ask if they could bump the limit up a little bit too, to try to weed out some of these people jumping in, making a don't bet on a couple numbers, leaving, you know, that sort of thing. It's just frustrating.
So Monday afternoon, I won't go through the rest of the trip too much, but first of all, I met up with Carl, a listener of ours, Carl, who had our coffee dice hoodie. Which was the first one, hoodie dice.
That's not us. That's somebody else.
Our coffee dice hoodie was the first one that I had seen in the wild. I wore mine earlier that morning, but he had his on, and it was super cool to see. So, Carl, it was great to meet you. Yeah, also met up with, I had planned to meet up with Danny, Vegas Introvert, and the two of us, he took me to Love It Frozen Custard.
Of course.
Which was, you know, my favorite place, and it was his first time going. He liked it.
But he then knows met the way up to your with, heart. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then met up with Romeo and Blair and Jen, all of whom are listeners to the show and supporters, and that was very cool. So I had a little drink with them, and actually I didn't drink because I wanted to go play craps. but said hi to them all and sat for a few minutes.
Are you saying that you shouldn't drink before you play craps? Like, that's a bad
idea? No, not at all. It was more of, I didn't want to take the time to wait for cocktail service.
Okay,
I wanted to get back to the table.
That's understandable.
That's just smart gambling.
I thought you were passing judgment on my Saturday evening or something.
No, not at all. I don't mind drinking at all. It was just the having to wait. I was ready to get back to the tables. And I think Blair, if I remember correctly, we're trying to work Blair up to, you know, playing craps at a real table, you know, a full regular craps table. So Blair, you can do it if you haven't already. It was great to meet all of you guys, and thanks. And Carl, thanks for supporting us with the hoodie. One thing I did want to know, Chris, and I texted you, you know this already, but hit the all tall small on Monday afternoon, and I texted Chris. I just said ding ding ding, and Chris is like,
I ignored it.
You did. You actually did.
I think I ignored it because I knew what.
I didn't
you
even
were
know
saying.
If you saw it, right?
No, I knew what you were saying, but at the same time, I did not want to acknowledge
you just
it. So I just moved on.
He didn't say good job or anything. He just ignored it.
So, Josh, are we MGM shills now? Or is it just win in the past now? What's going on?
Well, I think that's TBD. I think I think you know, we've talked about this on Patreon. We don't need to go, you know, into great detail about the angst we're having on which property to choose now, and I don't think anybody cares that much about our dilemmas. But we're really enjoying a lot of playing at MGM property, specifically Aria.
Yeah.
You know, as we've talked about, our PCS, our host, is treating us really well. And, you know, and that's nice. We also like the flexibility of the lower table limits. We like the properties. We're getting suites. All of those things, I think, are kind of, you know, we're very happy with the Aria situation right now. Do you agree, Chris?
Yeah, I do. I'm not throwing wind to the curb or anything and saying
no. We love it.
They're still extremely important. I love that place. I'm sure I'll be back soon. But yeah, we are. I mean, just overall, the treatment we get from Aria or MGM in general, is significantly better than what we typically get from Wynn, which is kind of expected, Josh. I mean, Wynn is kind of the pinnacle of Las Vegas gambling. We've said since day one on this show, we are tiny, tiny fish in the Wynn ecosystem. So we don't have exactly high, you know, expectations. But when you do get used to certain things, you know, getting treated a certain way and amenities that you didn't have before, and even things as small as like Josh getting massages comped at Aria that Wynn just doesn't do, or the treatment on birthdays that, you know, Wynn doesn't do as much. You know, it goes a long way, and it makes you want to play there more than other places.
So as we've said before, you know, play the place that you think is treating you the best, the place you enjoy the most, and hopefully that all works out for you.
And it could change tomorrow. I mean, there for a while, Wynn was the one that was treating us by far the best. Now MGM seems to be doing it. And who knows, Josh, maybe 6 months from now, Resorts World's going to step up their game and go crazy. I don't know.
If you're listening, Resorts World.
we're completely open to it.
One thing, Chris, we did learn, Chris and I both learned that Mandalay Bay is our preferred MGM destination.
Yeah, I've played there one time in the past 5 years, but somehow it is my preferred property according to MGM mailers.
Yeah, we both got our, you know, our automatic monthly or quarterly, whatever they are, offer thing. And there's some offer for, I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was F1 related or something, but it said stay at your preferred Vegas destination. And it was Mandalay Bay.
Mandalay Bay. I was like, what?
Not that we have anything against Mandalay Bay. We told you a couple shows ago we played there and enjoyed it. But
yeah, it was fine. But no, that's not my preferred location. Okay.
Anyway, that's it for our trip.
Yeah, exactly. We had a great time. Looking forward to doing it again soon. But Josh, let's move on to some listener questions. We got a question on Patreon from Eric. He said, maybe a good question for the pod, and maybe I'm just ignorant, but could you explain the various types of promotional play? Free play versus promo chips versus whatever else. How do you receive it? How do you use it? And what works for table games, etc.?
That's a great question, Eric. And so I think there's Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, you're kind of into this a little more than I am sometimes, but there's promotional chips, there's free play, and then there's match play.
Yeah, kind of like free kind of, sort of thing. Yeah, Caesars is big into those. Yeah.
Right. So promotional chips, maybe the terms kind of blend together in different ways, but promotional chips I have only had at Wynn. I don't know if Chris has had them other places too, but that's the only place I've had them. And they are chip, you know, casino chips and whatever denominational value they choose to give you as part of your offer. And at Wynn, they are play until you lose. So, and they can only be used, we've talked a little bit about this on other episodes, but you can only use them on certain types of bets, and that's all in the terms and conditions of the offer. But at when the chips are play until you lose, that's mm-hmm. different from match play offers or the offers that I think Caesars gives you sometimes where you'll get a voucher for $25, for example, which you can play on the line at a craps table. And it's just a one-time play. So win or lose, it goes away. You lose that voucher. So if a seven came on the come out roll and you had your $25 voucher out there, you would lose the voucher. You'd get $25 cash, but you would lose the voucher. Whereas at win, you would keep your promotional chip for $25 and you would get $25 cash. So that's a big difference in the value of those offers.
It makes them worth half what they're truly worth at the end of the day. Because a $25 chip is going to pay $25. And you can usually only use them on even money bets for the most part.
Right.
Some places, when it comes to craps, you can use it in the field. You can use it on a pass line. Some places will let you put it up as a place bet. Every casino is different on how they handle that. But, sometimes the way they work is they'll pay even money no matter where you put it. And that's especially important, like if you're a blackjack player, and you hit a blackjack on a promo chip, sometimes they'll just pay you even money. You need to understand every casino is different on if it's play till it loses or if it's a one-time use chip. Both exists. Caesars, they typically do just one-time use, vouchers that you can throw out there. And if it wins, you'll get whatever's on the voucher. And if it loses, then they just eat it up and make it disappear.
And how's that different from a match play offer?
So match play, the only difference is when you do that, you'll have a match play that say it says match play $25. You have to put out $25 of your money. And then they'll match the $25. Whereas with like a Caesars voucher that I found in the past, when they give you a table voucher for $100, you don't have to put $100 out. You can put $10 out, whatever table minimum is, and just stick that underneath your chip bet that you're making, and then they'll just pay it out when it hits.
I've actually had it. I think that you can just put the Caesars ticket on the line. If it's a $25 ticket, put it on the line without having to put any of your own money in.
I've had that before, and I've had places that required a minimum table bet with it. I think it's just property specific on what they want to see. And then on the other side of this, the free play, usually when people say free play, they're talking about slot tickets. They're giving you, whether they're giving you a physical ticket or if they're loading it on your card, whatever have you. But it's effectively just free dollars to run through a slot machine.
Which we run through, and then add in more and more and more, right?
Yeah, if you're asking which one's better or worse or anything, how do you get them? Play, lose money. The more you lose, the more they're going to give you, like anything else. I mean, it's just an incentive to come to the casino. For some reason, Josh and I have a tendency to get a lot of free slot play and not table games chips, which is weird, because usually it's based off what you're more, labeled as, a table game player or a slot player. If I have the option, the best bet I would prefer is a promotional chip that's play till you lose. I would want that first, then free play on a slot machine, and then, match play or gaming vouchers that are one-time use. Because like I said, those are really only worth half of what they're printed on the ticket. Because if you get a $100 match play or table voucher ticket and it wins, they're going to give you $100 for it and take the ticket. If it was worth full value, you would have kept your $100 that you bet and then got $100 more. So it's not nearly as valuable. They can afford to give away a lot more of those because there's just not as much, numerical value to them.
But they're great to have. Any offer you can get is a good one. I will say that. Like they're all
whatever they want to throw at me, I'll gladly make it work. Josh, another Patreon question from Jordan. He said, "Near I can tell, the likes of MGM and Caesars both offer credit cards and things like veteran status, first responders, etc., that allow you to skip the first tier and get you to the second tier of their programs." So for Caesars, he's talking about platinum. For MGM, he's talking about pearl status. And he said, is there value in this? Is it worth skipping to get to that tier? And my quick answer is, honestly, no. Unless you're going to park a lot and pay for parking, there's effectively very little value at the second tier level for these properties.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I haven't done a lot of research into it, but that the second tier might get you, maybe you get a different taxi line. Sometimes you might get a different, buffet line, maybe, if you show your card. I don't know, though, at the second tier if you get,
I've never seen a, I've never seen a platinum line at Caesars. I'd never seen that. They always have diamond lines in higher. And at MGM, I've never seen anything that said pearl status come here.
Yeah, I can't remember. You get a little, you know, you get parking, as you said. You might get a priority check-in, maybe.
Yeah, MGM does that. But the only thing that's worth mentioning is if you do tier match, to get to, say, the third tier, so to get to diamond at Caesars and platinum at MGM, which there actually is value associated with those
tiers. Right,
that tier matching does not, you know, expedite
that's
the
what
process
I was gonna say too.
Yeah. It doesn't skip over the tier requirement to get there. It's just giving you an inflated tier that you haven't earned yet. So you still have to earn, you know, at Caesars, whatever it is now, 25, 50,000. I don't know what it is, Josh. I haven't played at Caesars in forever. MGM, you still got to earn the 75 for gold or whatever it is.
And you're starting from zero, right?
And you're starting from zero. It does not skip tier credit, you know, requirements. So grand scheme of things, if you're a heavy gambler, it's completely meaningless because you'll get there yourself pretty quickly. And either way, even if you're not going to gamble that much, unless you're parking in casino garages and paying for parking, I can see literally no benefit to having it.
But if you have either Pearl at Caesars or, I'm sorry, Pearl at MGM or Platinum at Caesars and you find some value, give us a shout. If we miss something, that, you know, let us know. Chris, two things that I thought of as we're talking about this. How many did we had talked about maybe making it to Platinum this trip. And I know I did because I stayed a little extra long. Yep. Did you get a little?
Yeah, you had plenty.
You know,
of time
how'd you
do
in tier credits? Did you get close?
I think I'm 30 or 40,000 tier credits away. So next time I'm there, I'll easily hit platinum. That's not a big deal. And since I tier matched last trip out, it really didn't matter.
You're platinum anyway, right?
Because I already had it through the end of the year. So it's not that big of a deal. I will say, though, I continue to echo the fact that I think the tier credit earnings on table games at MGM are way too low. And I know last time we recorded for the main show, Josh, we even said, let's hold off on discussing it too much until you had been out there.
Right.
I think that the bonuses are great. I'm glad they're doing that. I think those are temporary, though. What, they run through like July?
Unless they get extended. There's rumors that they're
they
going to get extended.
They probably will, because
yeah.
MGM always has some sort of bonus tier credit earnings thing going on. Two times credits or these bonuses. They do have opportunities. But that being said, for the average player going in there trying to earn status where they're not going to earn 40,000 tier credits in a day and get a huge bonus, I still think that they're just really not good about table game earning rates. And I don't even think slot earning rates are really good. And they still don't put out there what the actual earning rate is.
Right. I know
what
I was talking
concerning.
To. I was talking to Danny, Vegas Entry, about that MGM on their slots. You don't know how many tier credits you're getting for each spin.
It depends on hold, and you have to know which game pays more, and you could try to track it that way. I mean, don't get me wrong. We've had places before that I didn't like turning tier credit earning-wise, like Encore Boston Harbor. I've talked about that 100 times. It is impossible to earn tier credits there. You could never earn status with the way that they give them out. MGM, you can earn status, but it's relatively low compared to what you would see from other properties status earn wise.
Well, and Chris and I, just to give you an idea, Chris and I played all day that Saturday, or, you know, most of the day that Saturday. We did not hit that 40,000 to get us the 60,000 tier credit bonus. We got our 20. I think we got somewhere in the 30s. And Chris, you had said on your last trip, you got 33. We had hopes of making 40. And again, that, you know, we didn't do very well gambling wise that day. So that made it harder, but we didn't make the 40.
I mean, there's something very frustrating about when you walk up to a table and lose, say, $5,000 in 15 minutes and you earn like 600 tier credits.
That is the worst.
It does not feel proportional. But I will say that even on our long sessions, Josh, I just didn't think we were really getting the tier credit earnings I would have liked to seen. And who knows, Josh, maybe the slot machines that you and I have a tendency to target, maybe those are really low earning rate machines. They shouldn't be, because they seem very volatile.
They're high,
and very
right.
high hold. So I wouldn't think that's the case, but I had systems where I don't know, you know, what I'm getting.
I had one session, you know, after you left that Monday morning, whatever it was, where I remember getting rated. I must have been rated really, really well, because I got a large number of tier credits, but, you know, it probably was that session where I had the 10 up to a grand and got rated really nicely.
Your average bet got way up there.
Yeah, but I also had some, like you, some sessions that went south really quickly and got almost nothing. I think I earned for the, you know, the trip I was there, I think I got 110,000 credits, tier credits for the,
for,
you know,
4 days.
Yeah, for 4 days or 3 days of gambling, that kind of thing. One other thing I forgot about. So Chris and I, on whatever it was, Saturday morning, You know, I admit up, Chris had been playing blackjack. Mentioned this earlier, forgot to. We sat down at a slot machine together, and Chris, we're there 30 seconds, and we get propositioned.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. I don't even think I had put a bill into the machine yet.
I don't think we had either. We literally just sat down at the two machines next to each other. Two girls.
We're the perfect mark. The way that our appearance, I think, is exactly what they target.
For Aria.
For Aria.
Our appearance doesn't, we don't attract them at Wynn.
These women, Josh, were not good looking enough to be that sort of person at Wynn. Because they would have got tossed from there because they just weren't pretty enough. I think it was one of those, hey, are you guys having any luck? And we said, no, not yet. You want to change that? You know, one of those sort of things.
I meant to mention that earlier. That's the second time that's happened to me at Aria, and it never happens at Wynn. And I'm not saying that they don't have them at Wynn, but somehow I'm not attracting them.
You just don't have enough bling on, Josh.
I don't have my $20,000 watch on, right?
Maybe if you started, like if you had a shirt that had a pocket, if you could put like your Sky Suites card sticking slightly out of it, Josh, just to be a bigger douche about that sort of thing and really draw attention to yourself.
I'm going to make a sign, a sandwich board. It just says, I'm in Sky Suites.
There's nobody that volunteered that they had black status faster than Josh to anybody that had interest. So I assume this will translate to MGM status. And I'll tell you what. Just God help us all if Josh ever gets noir.
We're going to throw a party, right?
Oh, geez, that would be crazy. So let's wrap things up, Josh. Patreon, patreon.com/crapvegas. Thank you to all our new patrons that signed up over the last couple weeks. There hit a point about a week ago after we had recorded this episode. It came out, and all of a sudden we got this rash of new patrons. And Josh doesn't
keep saying rash.
Like it's a bad thing. But we got an influx of new patrons that joined us, and even more than usual within a 1 week time span. I was like, Josh, what happened? What did we do? And I don't know, Josh, if you do this, but when I listen to You Can Bet on That, I usually get through like the first, 90% of the episode, and then I end up switching it off before they get to, their thanks section.
The thank yous
and Dr. Mike's story. Because I usually save that for my next listen, because I usually don't have that much of time on my commute to get the whole thing in. And so I hadn't listened to the last 10 minutes. I didn't know. And I didn't know that they had called us out and said, everybody join their Patreon. It's good stuff. And so I was like, what is called? And now I understand. So thank you to Dr. Mike and Mark for the shout out on the last episode, because we have more people join in a week than we've ever had. And I think it's all thanks to you guys. So we do appreciate it.
We appreciate it. And more than anything, I mean, and Chris, I think you're going to go through the list of patrons, but appreciate Mark for calling it out. And we try really hard to give our patrons, make our CVP shows special and dive a little deeper into some things. So thank you guys all for supporting it. And thanks, Mark and Dr. Mike, for mentioning us as well.
Yeah. So
and Chris, who did we get this week?
Thank you to the following people. Sean F., Mike B., Jeff P., Joshua H, Chad G, Matthew S. Yes, Josh, there was two Matthew S's.
Two of them. It's not Matthew T, U, and V.
I didn't repeat it. No, it's actually two Matthew S's. And since I don't give full last names, I don't want to call you out specifically. Texas Rob and Luke T. So thank you all, guys. We really do appreciate it. I know a lot of people also have converted over to annual memberships that were monthly memberships. Thank you to those people as well. Again, that just puts more pressure on us to make sure we keep popping out content that you want to hear.
Doing good stuff, right.
And so we'll see what we can do. But thank you again to all of those people, and especially to Dr. Mike and Mark. We do appreciate it. Upcoming trips. Josh, you got anything on the horizon?
I got nothing until my birthday trip, turning out to be probably end of June-ish is when we will matriculate our way to Vegas together.
Yep,
and we're still trying to figure out at which properties we will stay.
Yeah, we're still torn back and forth between Wynn and Aria. Is it going to be a split trip? Is it all going to be at one property? We haven't made up our mind yet. Nothing's locked in yet, but we do know it's going to be towards the end of June. I don't know, Josh. Maybe I'll get out there for a day here or there before then, just for the hell of it. But nothing set in stone as of now.
There we go.
Quick reminder, everyone, please subscribe, like, and review our podcast on your favorite podcasting app, and visit our merch store. That's crapvegas.com/shop. And Josh, I wanted to mention this earlier, but I forgot about it. I don't know if you know this, but we are at our 1-year anniversary of the show. Woohoo!
Woohoo! I figured we were close. I didn't know for sure when it was. I meant to go back and check to see when it dropped.
May 16th, and this episode will come out on May 14th. So
that's about as close as we can get, right?
This is going to be as close as it gets, guys. Episode 28, 1 year later. I cannot believe it's been a year, because I really never thought this was going to get over 5 or 6 episodes from the beginning. So we're like, what are we going to talk about after the first week or two? And here we are a year
later. So thank you guys that have been with us since the beginning. And those of you that have, you know, our Vegas Duffy Heart 8 t-shirts with the original Dice logo on them, you know, any of our t-shirts, any of our stuff with the original logo, and just for supporting us from the beginning, that means a lot. It's 1 year is kind of amazing, and we hope to just be getting started. I know Chris and I keep thinking all the time of different ideas and things we want to talk about and directions we might want to take the show, and it means a lot to us.
It really does. We're very thankful for all of you guys just for listening. It's really appreciated. I did want to do something in case anybody hadn't got something they wanted to get from our web store, just as like an annual, you know, anniversary sale sort of thing, Josh. So here's what I did. Starting from the moment you listen to this, if you shop on our website until June 1st, we're going to have our normal Crap Vegas logo shirts, the original shirts, for $10 flat. That includes shipping. So you can get one of those for super cheap if you want to. And then all other merchandise is going to be 30% off. So if you want to grab a hoodie, if you want to get one of the few that are left in my closet, you're more than welcome to. The Vegas Duffy shirt, the Heart 8 shirt, the I'm Risking Divorce for this shirt, they're all still available. 30% off. And even more than that, Josh, any order that's placed between now and June 1st, when we cut it off, I'm going to enter you in a random drawing, and whoever I select, we're going to give a $50 Amazon gift card to, just as a thank you.
How's that? Thank you. Yeah, it's great.
I haven't told any of that to Josh yet, so if he doesn't like that idea, tough shit, because it's already out on the internet now. So
that's right. No, I fully support.
Now, keep in mind, for all logistical purposes, we're recording this on Monday, and I haven't done any of this to the website yet. So let's say we need a promo code, Josh, for people to use to make this happen. So what promo code should we use? I'll let you pick that.
Brothers.
Promo code brothers. We'll get you 30% off everything in the store, $10 Crap Vegas t-shirts, and we'll enter you into the drawing to get a $50 Amazon gift card. So, hey.
And by the way, speaking of, I would appreciate it if you happen, you know, next time you see us at the table or want to refer to us, Chris has been doing a great job of getting a little trimmer. And so if you please refer to me as the younger, thinner of the group, that will just drive Chris crazy.
I don't care about body image at all, Josh, but I will say that when people ask, like, are you guys brothers? And I was like, he could be my dad, okay? Calm down, people.
Brings me no end to the joy that all brings me. If you couldn't
tell
already,
Josh, I still love you. Just not the same age, and let's not get confused.
And you
anything
froze.
Else you want to? Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here this week?
So I did have one thing, Chris. So I don't know if you've been following the news. This is all going to make sense to you when I finish this story. Have you been following the news, kind of in your area, about the Hilton hotel manager in Nashville? Do you know this story?
No, I don't.
Okay, so a Hilton hotel manager got himself in a little trouble when there was a gentleman that had checked into one of the rooms, and this manager cloned the key to the room and went in the room in the night, and the hotel guest was awakened to what, do you think? Any guesses?
I don't even want to guess.
The hotel manager was proceeding to suck on the guest's while he was asleep.
I'm gonna put a beep over the last word there just to make it even more exciting in post.
And so that, my friends, is why, as our listener Anthony asked us, I don't want to shack up with Chris while we're in Vegas.
How are those two things related at all? Are you saying I'm the creepy guy that sneaks into rooms and sucks on?
Wow. No, I just saw the story, and I was trying to, you know, we had been asked, Anthony had asked us why we didn't shack up in Vegas, and I saw that story, and so I wanted to tell that joke, and I'm glad you appreciated it.
I thought you had a really good, like, Dr. Mike nudity story to tell from a casino or something, and that is not the direction that you went.
No. We almost did have some nudity, though, speaking of, didn't we?
Oh, we did, yeah. We had that girl at the end of the table who was not exactly my type, but she was very pretty. And I'll tell you what, if she raised her arm one more time to throw the dice, everything was coming out.
She had a hard time keeping everything contained.
And that was perfectly fine. I think we actually encouraged, I think, Josh, we actually did this once. I think we passed the dice to her just so she could shoot again, just to see what would happen.
I don't know if we actually did it, but it was talked about. I remember that somebody said, we should just pass the dice back to the other end of the table.
Just see
what happens. As I recall, she actually had a really good roll.
We had
a legitimate reason, right?
No, this was just smart gambling. That's all it was.
But anyway, that was my I didn't have a nudity story. I had a toe sucking story.
Okay, that we might have to cut this. I don't know if you guys are going to hear this or not, but either way, thank you guys again for listening. Thank you for being here for a year with us. We can't believe it's been that long, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Vegas, here we come.
Thanks for listening to the Crap Vegas Podcast.
Have you ever been to Vegas?
Check out all our recent news and our Vegas trip calendar by visiting crapvegas.com.
See you in Vegas.